Welcome to the Code of Entry podcast, where we cloud the issues with facts and help you upskill to stay on the digital edge. Here's your host, Greg, with the latest.
Hey, team. Greg here with another Code of Entry podcast. So today, I wanted to talk to you about why passwords are dead. Yeah, passwords are dead. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a password, but if that's all you're using today, you're not doing the right thing. Take a step back. Last week, at least in time here, so we'll see when this podcast airs, but family and I went to Jamaica. Okay, great. Go to Jamaica, go to the all-inclusive resort, have a good time. We'll prepay for everything so we're not using any money on the island. We'll be great. Okay, then weather happens. We're supposed to get scuba certified. Not going to get scuba certified because too many waves, too much wind, whatever it is. Okay, great. We're going to go on an excursion, plan B. Going to be a great time. Pay through the resort, don't have to worry about that. We get there, and we have to fill out a piece of paper for the waiver. Now, it's not just I, Greg, accept risk for this life, limb, eyesight. Okay, sign. They want your name, your birthday, your address, your zip code, your phone number, email address, basically all your PII. Whatever, I fill it out, not a big deal, we're going to do this thing. Lo and behold, I wake up the next morning, and all my American Airlines miles are gone. In fact, I have 150 spam messages, and that might be conservative, in my inbox. My email has been added to all these mailing lists and stuff all over the world. That looks weird. So I keep scrolling down, checking through. Finally, the first email I got is American Airlines. Congratulations. These two flights in Africa have been redeemed on your points. Like, what? I go to report it. And of course, it takes umpteen calls and many minutes on hold. I was really surprised how fast American Airlines didn't want to cancel fraudulent tickets. That would have just cost them money. But eventually finally got it worked out. And I came to the conclusion, I'm like, why did this happen? I wasn't at super high risk because my American Airlines account got hacked, but I didn't use that password with any other accounts. Okay, good. I'm doing the right things. I have a complex password. I'm like, how could it have happened? All right, given my email address and my birthday, that shouldn't have been enough to do anything, security questions, all that kind of stuff. No, none of the information required for that. Take another look and say, okay, probably a brute force attack on passwords. Who knows? Maybe the password that was generated for me had been in a leak or something sometime. Who knows? Let's just get past the math of that. And I was like, so you would have had to brute force. Typically, after a few failed logins, you'll get blocked. Okay. The next TTP is, well, I'm going to rotate IP addresses. Then they rotate IP addresses and allow it to happen again. Get blocked, rotate, keep going. And you've got a lot of combinations there to try to figure it out. And it dawned on me, I'm like, wait a minute. Of my accounts, the only one that doesn't do multi-factor authentication is American Airlines. And I was like, this really points to why you need it though. Reasonably responsible person, one password to one account, and the somehow, whatever happened. And I was like, but that's the risk that you're at. Just using username and password on things. That's why when you get a text message and you're like, oh, I've got a 6-digit code. Oh my God, thank God my phone pre-fills it for me, which is pretty cool. Or, hey, Google wants me to open my app and pick one of the three numbers that they just displayed to me on this thing. Okay, great. It's a pain, but it saves you so much time. It saves you going on vacation and spending almost one of your days on the phone trying to make sure that's it. That's the only account and I've got it secured. Multi-factor authentication is essential, and it's why I say the passwords are dead. So, great. As we've gone through time, you started with a 4-character PIN, then a 6-character PIN, and then, hey, you need at least 7 letters on a password. And it's, wait a minute, you need 70 letters, and every special character and each thing on the keyboard has to be used at least once, whatever the password policies are today. We keep trying to get more and more complex. What happens is that leads to reuse, or just leads to somebody being lazy and not doing a strong password, but it also leads to them writing them down. I'll joke, because if you walk through an office supply store today, I bet you'll find a little black book of passwords, right? Oh, great. It's the meme that goes around from the IT help desk, where the IT help desk is, hey, everybody write down your old password or new password here. It's like, what? It's a meme. Who cares? Just set a password that's reasonably hard. I'm actually a fan of passphrases. Some systems, a lot of systems actually will allow you to put spaces in your password. Guess what? Special character and something long and something much easier to remember. my birthday is X. Use the spaces, use an exclamation point at the end because you're happy. Whatever. But you can remember it. And it's a fairly complex phrase. But then you have to double down with multi-factor authentication. I don't know if you can see on my computer down here in the frame, my computer at the end here. There's a YubiKey Nano, I guess YubiKey 5 Nano right here. If I want to go into any of my important accounts, I'll either get a text message or I'll use my security key, which has been preset up. So if you don't have a YubiKey, I highly recommend it. Now, there's nothing better than when you're prompted for multi-factor authentication, being able to touch the thing. It's like having a common access card for a company where you get to just put in a PIN number because you have your ID card in, right? Those things are much more secure than username and password. So as I'm like, password's dead, I don't think it should go away. But I think the evolution that needs to happen is the password is the first layer in a multi-layer defense. Maybe the second layer. Let's say username is the first layer and then password's the second layer. Okay, then put something else on it. A security token, a YubiKey, a common access card, text message to your cell phone. But it's become essential because if you don't have that, you have the risk of accounts being hacked. The next step is we're talking about passwords being dead. Why do you need one to begin with? Okay. In the government space, there's something to be said for, I might need a password because I have this special role and I'm in a facility where I can't get a text message from my phone. Okay, great. And I say this on top of knowing that different folks have different ID cards to use, right? But just saying, hey, if you work in a secure place and you work for a company, maybe you have to have a password. Okay, but that should be on a segmented network that doesn't touch the public internet. Your only threat then should hopefully be insider threats, and then dependent on your risk there, right? Rule in other mitigations. But if you're not having to worry about secure facilities, why not tie cell phones, emails, whatever else to a computer account? So now when I go in to log into my company portal, maybe my company Outlook is set up separate from the login that I'm trying to do for the company system. So I have this company desktop that I got to. I get to load my email. I can use multi-factor authentication from another device. I'm in there. But now I can take and through there securely access other things. And I think I kind of bridged thoughts there. So stick with me. So what I'm thinking about here, right, is as a company, reduce your risk because have your folks log in. If you have to, least securely with a password, that's fine. But then when they get to that portal, require an extra layer of security. Or primarily, if you can, have an authenticator app that goes in and sits between them and that first layer. So I'm looking at something like a Hypori who has Hypori Halo or a Silo Authenticate or something similar. There's things that you can use to take the next step. So we talked about, okay, great, username and password, and then I went to multi-factor authentication. Okay, how do you get more secure with that? We're in the age of bring your own device. Okay, with bring your own device, what you have is you have a lot of unsecure devices getting to touch your company network. The worst thing, okay, other than the user, because you can't plan for what dumb things the user is going to do. The worst thing on your computer other than the user is the browser. It's literally designed to do remote code execution from around the internet. Now that code might be HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, whatever's in the browser, but there's a lot of payloads that can be delivered through a browser. There's a lot of links that can be clicked, and then your environment is host. If you put one of these intermediaries in the place, basically every session that you get is a sandbox. So you could roll your own Amazon workspace and do this, but then you'd have to rebuild the workspace. If you do a service, that's one of these other ones I mentioned, I'll stick with Hypori for a minute. You log in through your device to Hypori. They manage the sandbox sessions with your apps, your credentials, whatever, that get loaded in there and controlled. They get to control whether or not you can download something, whether or not you can upload something. But then the things that are getting served to you, let's finish on the security point. Okay, great, it's secure. But the next thing is they're basically just display packets. It's not anything arriving on your machine. So you've completely segmented the user's endpoint with where they're interacting with online. And then that layer in the middle gets to have things that are special, gets to have things that need to be secure, and gets to have a consistent operating environment so that applications that you provide will work as expected, not to mention the security benefits. But the other thing about these display packets is the display packets tend to be two-thirds smaller than the rest of the packets you would normally get to your computer. So you're basically streaming an episode of your desktop from remote away to your local desktop, and it's actually costing you less traffic than if you're really sending all the information back and forth. And you're getting terminated out there on the web of things, right? So you're making most efficient use of your endpoint. You're securing your endpoint. You're providing a great user experience in the middle because things will always work like they are. And you're securing the entire enterprise. Follow my train of thought there from, hey, passwords are dead. Hey, passwords are dead. Your accounts will get hacked. It is what it is. If you're going to block IP addresses rotating, you need to block usernames when the usernames have failed attempts. All right, soapbox complete. But then the passwords are dead, you need to be using multi-factor authentication. If you're going to use multi-factor authentication, that gets you to the next level, but how are you going to secure your network from there? From this user train from end to end, on authorized users to authorized user to what might be on my machine, because if I'm bringing my own device, I've now compromised the network because of the environment that I'm providing. Then let's put an intermediary in the middle. Let's not let you interact with proprietary resources. Let's let you interact with this intermediate desktop we're providing and just stream you a picture of what you're doing, and then you can do your work. Yeah, works out for security, not having to worry about passwords. So when you don't have to worry about passwords, my only thing out there is please allow passphrases, but also maybe your password doesn't need to be stupid complex because it's only layer 2 of your 3 or more level security, right? Let people have passwords they can remember, so they're not writing them down in books getting stolen. But then just know that's just an intermediate phase for you to pay the money to send them a text message. Okay, not going to go down the rabbit hole of needing to protect how you send them messages that somebody can't spam bomb them to get in their account. But you've got this ability to start with, hey, passwords are dead. Why are passwords dead? How do I get more secure? Why do I care about a password? Okay, multi-factor authentication. Well, multi-factor authentication, what if they do something else on a site that's not protected by my multi-factor authentication? Get something malicious on their machine, connect to the business. Okay, great. Intermediate location to connect to the business. That if you got to implement that third layer of a token or some type of multi-factor authentication, great. If you didn't, at least you can take that one more step. And then, I'm going down super specific rabbit holes here. The opportunity that you then have on your remote machine is issuing everyone certificates that stay on that machine that get to be like a soft cert for their multi-factor authentication. So there's tons of ways to skin this cat. All of them, though, require doing something other than just having a password. Hopefully, this is helpful to some security folks out there. If nothing else, it's a story to say, hey, when you go on vacation, don't do my first day where I provided all the real information. Do my next day where my email address was a@a.com and my phone number is 1-3-3-4-5-6-7-8-9-0. But hey, other than that, I appreciate you listening. Remember, first and foremost, when you're on the internet of things, remember that your information is only your information if you secure your environment. And there's a lot that goes into that because people are more and more advanced. And user error, people like me, you know, clicking bad links. It happens. It's more normal than not. What are you going to do leaving here? A couple things. First, you're going to make sure you have a password manager that gives you strong passwords that are different across all your accounts. Okay, great. Next, you're going to go look up what a YubiKey is if you don't already have one, and you're going to set it up on your computer. And then next, you're going to switch out all your websites and accounts so that they use multi-factor authentication. And then if you want to give me more support, you can message American Airlines about how they need to implement multi-factor authentication in their accounts. Hey, I appreciate you listening. We'll be back next week with a topic and a brand new guest to talk to. Till then, keep hustling.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media at Code of Entry and online at codeofentry.com. Check back for new episodes or join the team by signing up for notifications. Until next time, keep hustling.